Okay, thank you very much for joining me today. My name is Carlene Velez, and I am going to talk today about Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program opportunities in the fine arts. And I can tell you that I'm very excited to be talking with so many artists today. In Fulbright, we try to make sure that there's someone in each discipline who can work with people from that discipline, and arts is the area that I am excited to work in. So I will do my best to overview the specifics about applying to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program as an artist today, but I do want to let you know that you are also welcome at any point during my presentation to put questions in the question box. I hope to leave about 20 minutes or 30 minutes at the end of the presentation to answer your specific questions. And please know that if I do not get to your questions today, you're always welcome to email me. I'll have an email contact at the end of the presentation so that I can get back with you. Just a little bit about the Fulbright program. The Fulbright program has been around since 1945. It is the U.S. government's flagship international exchange program, sponsored by the U.S. Department of State and administered by the Institute of International Education. We partner with about 160 countries worldwide and offer opportunities for journalists, faculty members, artists, lawyers, and other professionals to teach, study, or conduct research abroad, with the ultimate goal of promoting mutual understanding between nations and advancing knowledge within communities. So that is at the heart of the Fulbright program. As far as the Fulbright program itself, we take great pride in trying to promote diversity and inclusion in all of our programs. And we do that not just in name, but also in action. We recruit actively in all different types of institutions, starting from the R1 institutions all the way down to rural or minority-serving institutions. And we encourage people, regardless of race, color, national origin, geographic location, disability, sexual orientation, to apply to our program. Our goal is for the Fulbright program to represent the diversity of the United States abroad. Fulbright by the numbers. Just to give you an idea of how broad the Fulbright program is, we offer about 8,000 awards annually. About 2,000 of those are to U.S. students, about 4,000 to foreign students. And then we have the category that I'm talking about today. About 800 awards are offered to U.S. scholars, administrators, and professionals. And then we have visiting scholars come to the U.S. and foreign language teaching assistants. We have about 390,000 Fulbrighters to date for people who have participated in one program or the other throughout our entire Fulbright suite. Just to give you a little bit of idea of the types of activities that academics and professionals participate in, we have postdoctoral researchers of about 8%, administrators at higher educational institutions at about 9%, and then the rest are teaching research or teaching research combination awards. You have opportunities, depending on the award description, to apply in any of these specific activities, and the people who are the most successful are the ones who choose an activity that matches their professional profile the best, and I will talk a little bit more about that as we go through the awards descriptions. The basic eligibility for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is that you have to be a U.S. citizen. If you are a green card holder, you are not eligible until you naturalize, and if you do, then you are automatically eligible for the program. If you are a foreign citizen, then you would apply through the Fulbright Foreign Scholar Program. But other than that, everything depends on the award. So many awards call for PhDs or other terminal degrees, which include MFAs. But there are awards that allow for MAs to apply with higher ed teaching experience, or professionals and or artists who have substantial accomplishments, meaning that they have had their work exhibited in museums or galleries, they might have been in certain exhibitions, and some also require teaching experience. The award description will give you the exact details about what is required for each award, And we have a group of Fulbright advisors at the Institute of International Education who can work with you on your eligibility requirements if you have any questions about that. The best thing to do when you're looking at the Fulbright program is to try to find an award that works for you. And so there are a wide variety of awards that can work throughout your career, starting at the postdoctoral level if you are doing academic work in the arts, or you can go in early or mid-career. You can go when you're getting ready to retire as a distinguished scholar or an independent scholar. We also have what's called the flex option, which allows you to go for multiple shorter trips to different countries. About 63 countries participate in that program. And then we also have regional research awards that allow you to conduct research in a couple countries within a research. Usually the maximum number of countries that you are allowed to go on in a multi-country grant is 3. So I know there's a question that somebody asked about 3 to 4 countries. Generally, the maximum is 3. I have not seen an award that allows for 4 countries within a region. Okay, moving right along. The important thing also about selecting an award is to try to find the right award. And when you do that, you want to match your expertise and experience to that is listed in the awards description. And we will go through the awards descriptions again later on. Also, there might be awards that are asking for people who have a certain type of regional experience or language skills. So if you're applying to certain awards in Africa, they might require that you have French language skills. There are also awards that have specific discipline preferences, and so they might particularly want one type of artist over another type of artist. And again, we'll review that as we go through the awards description. They also are looking for a project that is relevant to the host country and that can benefit the community in some way. So is what you're offering something that would benefit or enrich the community that you would like to propose to visit? And then finally, what level of professional or scholar are they asking for? Do you have what it is that they're asking for? And if so, then you would be a good candidate for that particular award. So what I would like to do now is go through each of the different world regions and highlight some of the awards that are particularly friendly to people in the arts. There are many other awards that I am not listing today that you would be eligible to apply for, but what I did is I searched through the awards catalogs to look for the awards that are appropriate for this particular webinar. So let's start with East Asia and the Pacific. I want to highlight an award to Australia that is the Fulbright Distinguished Chair in Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at the Australian National University. This is a research-only award, and when we have an award that is listed as a Distinguished Chair Award, it is generally for people who are associate to full professor and above, but each Distinguished Chair has specific requirements for them. At the Australian National University, they are seeking scholars who are established in their field in the arts, music, film, and creative writing. So those are some of the artistic endeavors that they're specifically requesting. Moving on to China, China has a Social Science, Humanities, and the Arts Award. You can conduct research or you can teach. And in addition to arts, music, film, and creative writing, they are also open to dancers going to the institutions within China. Moving on to the award in the Philippines. The Philippines, it is called the All Disciplines Award. So as an artist, you would be competing for that award against people from other disciplines. So you might be up against an engineer and a linguist at the same time. For the award of the Philippines, you can choose whether you would like to do teaching research or a teaching research combination. And in particular, they're open to people in the arts. The photo on this page is one of our alumni, Jason Roblano, who did a photography project in the Philippines. And for the Philippines, they are interested in the study of the United States or Philippines studies. So especially if you are an artist, and your art represents the United States or it's a comparative project between the U.S. and the Philippines, then that would also make you a very strong candidate for that particular award because it fits within something that they are requesting. Moving on to Taiwan. Taiwan also has arts, education, humanities, professional fields, and social sciences, allowing you to engage in teaching, research, or a combination. And they as well are seeking artists, dancers, musicians, or people in drama fields for those awards. Okay, moving on to Europe and Eurasia. There are a wide variety of awards to Europe and Eurasia, and I will highlight only five of them here, but please know that there are quite a few more. So let's start in Austria, the Fulbright Q21 Museum's Courtier Artist in Residence. This introduces us to another category of activity called a professional project. So if you are a practicing artist and not necessarily an academic artist, you can actually apply to go and conduct a professional project where you would go and study the artwork in the area, maybe work with certain artists at this artist in residence, and they are looking for people in art, dance, film, music, and fashion. In the Czech Republic, this Fulbright Masaryk Award in NGO management allows for a professional project or teaching research. This is a very exciting award that allows the artists to not only go and work on their own projects in the Czech Republic, but you would also be consulting with a nonprofit. So if there's a specific nonprofit, an arts-related nonprofit in the Czech Republic, then you would be a good fit for this award if you would like to work and collaborate with them. Moving on to France, there is the French Studies Award in Arts, Humanities, and Social Science. This is a research-based award that is looking for artists, filmmakers, and musicians. In Ireland, there is a Visual Arts Award in Museum Studies, working with 20th century or contemporary art. The great thing about this award to Ireland is that you get to work actually at the Irish Museum of Modern Art, and you would help them research and conduct research in their collection, work with them on categorizing their pieces in the collection. And so it would give you the opportunity to actually be hands-on in a museum in Ireland. Moving on to the UK, this is just one of many arts-based awards in the UK. This is the Fulbright University of Dundee Art and Design Award for research or teaching. This, they are looking for artists and filmmakers to work at the University of Dundee. So as you can see with this award to the UK, there are awards that are sponsored by specific institutions, the University of Dundee in this case, and you would be working with that particular institution. Other awards allow you to choose any institution or possibly a nonprofit or museum of your choice, but you would need to look at the specific location requirements in the awards description. Okay, now let's talk about the Middle East and North Africa. This region is actually very open to artists of all types. If you look at that first award to Algeria, it is technically an all disciplines award for teaching research or a teaching research combination. But in particular, they are looking for people who study woodwinds, strings, or vocals. So if you are interested in studying music, especially, or teaching about music and woodwinds, strings, or vocal disciplines, then this would be a great match for you. Egypt is open to visual and performing arts. They have an award specifically related to visual and performing arts, and this would be in the teaching realm. So you would not be conducting independent research, but you would be working with students at an Egyptian university. Israel has an all disciplines senior scholarship fellowship, which will allow you to teach research or do a combination in any discipline at any institution in Australia. So this is a very open award, and there have been artists who've been successful working in Israel in the past. Just as a side note, Israel also has a postdoc award if you're a postdoc that will allow you to conduct research in the arts as well in Israel. Jordan is an all disciplines award, but they do specifically say that they're open to people in the arts and film studies. In Qatar, this is an all-disciplines award also for teaching or teaching research, and they in particular are interested in arts education. So if you are a person who would like to teach in the field of arts, then this would be a great award for you. And in Saudi Arabia, this is as well an all-disciplines award, and so I want you guys to see that sometimes the artist awards found, they go in as all-disciplines awards. And Saudi Arabia is looking for people in the field of entertainment. So if the artistic endeavor that you engage in would fall under the category of entertainment or perhaps tourism, then you might want to look into that award. Okay, we're halfway around the world. Now we have three more world regions to go. Let's talk about South and Central Asia. One of the largest awards in our awards catalog is the award to India, the Fulbright Narrow Academic and Professional Excellence Award. This award allows for teaching, research, combination, or professional projects, and India is a very art-friendly country that allows artists in a wide variety of disciplines. South and Central Asia also have a multi-country award that allows you to choose 2 to 3 countries within the South and Central Asia region to conduct research in. Sometimes it's comparative research, sometimes you have other reasons for going to multiple countries, but this does allow you to visit a couple different locations to pursue your artistic endeavors. And then finally, Nepal. Nepal has a few institutions that you can affiliate with, but in particular at Kathmandu University, they're looking for people in painting, sculpture, and also performers in the area of folk art music. So if you are interested in those areas, then you can look at the award to Nepal. Nepal also has a research-only award that is open to all disciplines, so it's not as specific as the one in the Teaching Research Award that is looking for painters or sculptors or performing artists, but you still are eligible to apply. In Sub-Saharan Africa, you can see we have 4 all-disciplines awards listed here. And in Rwanda in particular, they're open to the arts at the University of Rwanda. Senegal is open to all disciplines, so no matter what your artistic pursuits are, you can engage in them in teaching. And if you look at both Rwanda and Senegal, they are open to teaching only or teaching research. Many of the awards in Africa really want the scholars to engage with the African scholars and the students at the institutions, and that's why teaching is generally a component of almost every award to Africa. In Uganda, at Merkeri University, they are asking for performing artists. So you can conduct a professional project there or do research or teaching research there. And in Zimbabwe, they're interested in arts, dance, and drama. So those are opportunities for you to go to Africa. And then in the Western Hemisphere, we have an award to Canada. It is the Research Chairs in Arts, Humanities, and Cultures. And this is for research or teaching research. The award to Canada is located at the University of Alberta, and they are looking for people in the fields of film, music, art, and design. And because it does say the research chair, again, you would need to consult the award description for their specific definition of a chair. But a chair is generally associate to full professor and above, people who have are established in their field. Oftentimes they do require MFAs or PhDs and also a certain number of publications if it's a research chair. That's a general description, but I would be happy to help you navigate specific awards. I saw someone asked a question about the research chair or the distinguished chair designation. Okay, we have 2 more here in Western Hemisphere. Chile has an award for social science, humanities, and education, either teaching or teaching research, and they're open to artists, dancers, people in the theater arts, and musicians. And finally, the Dominican Republic has an all-disciplines award that is open in arts, dance, fashion, music, and theater arts. Now that we've gone around the world, I do want to make sure that you understand how to read the awards catalog. So if you look at any of the awards in the awards catalog, you'll see that they have four different tabs. The first tab, the awards details, that tells you what the grant activity is. It'll tell you the length of time, the location, and any other particular details about the award. The second tab, the awards requirements, this is important because it tells whether or not you need a letter of invitation, and I will go into more detail here in a minute about that. It also talks about whether you need to have a language evaluation or language skills to complete your award. Believe it or not, many of the awards in the catalog do not require language skills as long as you're able to justify how you would do your project without language skills. So if you do not have strong language skills in another language, please don't let that stop you from applying. We have many awards that do not require language skills. The third tab, the stipend and benefits tab, this talks about the financial piece. How much will your stipend be? Some people have support from their home institutions, other people don't, and so you'll get all of the details about what you would receive as part of your stipend. Please note that one of the best things about Fulbright is about half of the awards in our catalog do provide some type of dependent support. So whether it be in the form of a supplemental air ticket for a spouse or possibly tuition for international or English speaking schools for K through 12 dependents, it is all listed in the stipend and benefits category. And then finally, the country and area overview situate you a bit more about what is happening in the country. So let me talk a little bit about the application components. First, to apply for a Fulbright Award, you would need to fill out the application form, which includes a project statement of 3 to 5 pages and some short answer questions. You would provide a CV or a resume, 2 letters of recommendation, and you are limited to 2 letters of recommendation, and so because of that, you need to very carefully select the people who can talk the best about your ability to complete the project or do the work that you're proposing. If you're applying for a teaching award, you would want someone who has had the opportunity to observe your teaching. If you are going to be doing a professional project, someone who has seen some of your artistic work. And then you sometimes need a language proficiency report if it's required, or a letter of invitation if it's required. There are also supplemental materials that you would need. If you are going to be proposing courses to teach, you would need course outlines or syllabi. If you're proposing a research project, you would need a select bibliography. And then for the artists, you are also very lucky because you guys get to upload a portfolio, and I will go through the details of the portfolio with you here in this webinar. So let's start with the project statement, since this is the essence of what you need in the Fulbright application. So your project statement is 3 to 5 pages, single-spaced, and it focuses on what you plan to do, maybe the courses that you plan to teach, what you want to research or study, and your methods. It's really important that you clearly outline your methods so that the peer review committee who will review your application understands how you plan to carry out your work. And just so that you know, as artists, you will be reviewed by an arts committee here on the United States side for peer review. You also want to talk about the impact of your award on your host in that country, your home institution, and then you yourself in your own professional development. With Fulbright, we really are, we take the impact of the project and the work very seriously, so we ask that you can, that you elaborate on that in the project statement. The second part of the application is where you answer these supplemental questions. The first one is, why Fulbright? Why do you need a Fulbright to carry out your work? Remember, above and beyond anything, Fulbright is a cultural exchange program, and so we want to understand how this can help you, why Fulbright can help you with what it is you're trying to do. The next thing is, why this country? This is a very important piece. If you are proposing to study folk music, you really need to say why you need to be in country X to study that particular type of folk music, or how the music from that country can influence what it is you're trying to do with your own music. And so you really want to highlight that connection to the country you're trying to go to. The next supplemental question is, how adaptable are you? How well will you deal with challenging situations? Because when you get to a country, you never quite know what to expect. There have been instances where, for whatever reason, the scholars have had to change institutions, or maybe their apartment isn't ready and they've had to be in temporary housing for a while. Whatever it might be, you want to illustrate that you are adaptable. And then the last question is, how will you adapt your materials for the host culture? So are you going to modify them, and in what way are you going to modify them? Because these supplemental questions are separate, you don't have to include them in your project statement. So you really do have the 3 to 5 pages in your project statement to explain your project in detail. Okay, the next thing is about affiliations and invitations. In the awards description, a host institution may or may not be identified. And if you look at the two examples in these boxes, in the first one, it says locations. The applicants may affiliate with one of the following institutions. And so you are required to affiliate with one of those institutions listed. Alternatively, it might say any accredited institution is acceptable for your location. And in that case, you would need to figure out where you might like to conduct your research. If there is only one university in the country that has a fine arts program, then you might want to affiliate with them. But when the host is not identified, there are several resources that can help you find an affiliation. The first one is possibly talking to the international office on your campus. They might have contacts or connections with people overseas, and that is a wonderful way to get started. You can also view the U.S. and Visiting Fulbright Scholar Directory on our website. I can help you guys find that too as soon as this presentation is over. But the Fulbright Scholar Directory allows you to search by country or by discipline. You can do keyword searches, and you will find both the United States scholars and the visiting scholars. And so some people have found an artist, for example, from Bulgaria in the Fulbright Scholar Directory, and then they reached out and started building relationships with that artist from Bulgaria, and then ultimately got an invitation to go to Bulgaria from that artist's institution. So there are ways of being able to network with Fulbright alumni and use them as a way to try to understand more about what's happening at the country and how to get an invitation. The next one is you can review the awards description, because sometimes they list a specific host or resources to find a host. Occasionally, there will be email contact information for people in those countries who can help match you up with a host. Because more than anything, we want you to be prepared to match your skill set to a host out there so that you can provide them with the great resources and they can be a great source of support for you while you're conducting your work overseas. As far as an invitation, in that awards requirement tab, you see the invitation requirement, and this might say a letter of invitation is required. It might say that it's optional. It might say that it's preferred, or it might say a letter of invitation should not be sought. So there are a number of different ways that an invitation can be listed. But just to give you an idea, an invitation is a non-binding expression of interest from a proposed host abroad. So even if they write this letter, they're not committing to anything. We don't know whether you'll get the award or not, but it is just stating that they would be interested in working with you. It should come from the person with whom you're collaborating with, but yet this differs depending on where you're applying. Sometimes they have a requirement that it comes from the chair of the department and not the scholar themselves. So you would work with your host to get the appropriate letter from them. And next, it should be on institutional letterhead so that it's an official letter. You will basically scan that into a PDF, and then there's a spot in the application where you would upload that. Now, for the artist, this is the most important piece. It's the portfolio. So applicants in the creative and performing arts should submit a digital portfolio as one component of their application. It's wonderful because the portfolio can demonstrate your technical skills and the maturity of your work. And you want to make sure that your portfolio is well edited and a good representative collection of the work that you're proposing in your project. And that last point, I can't stress enough. I have been in peer review committees where people are proposing one type of work. Let's say, for example, they are proposing a project in the field of ceramics, and then their portfolio is only paintings that they have done over the time. And so those types of people who aren't showing examples of their work in the field of ceramics don't fare as well in the peer review process because we don't see their ability to do their ceramic arts that they're proposing. So you do want to make sure that the work that you're proposing does match the work that you're presenting in your portfolio. If you are using images, pictures, or graphics, and graphics can be for architects, for example, you can use up to 10 images, and there is a space that allow you to put descriptive notes, so how big the piece is, what materials you used when you were creating this piece, and some of those other notes that are important to your work. If you are a performing artist and you're using audio or video files, you can have up to 30 minutes total for all of the segments that you upload, but you are limited to 30 minutes. And then if you are a creative writer or you write plays, then you would put a writing sample of up to 15 pages in your portfolio. So once you select art or music as your discipline, then an area pops down that will allow you to upload the portfolio. If you are applying as a psychologist, then you would not have that portfolio option available. So do make sure that you are applying in your artistic endeavor to get that portfolio option. On this page, I just list a couple sample of awards. So if you look, for example, fine arts and performing arts, you can see people have received awards to every world region in Brazil, paintings of endangered flora of the Atlantic Forest of Rio de Janeiro, that's an example. Korea, the study of Korean surface metal techniques, and on, clay art in India. Over in the performing art side, you can see people looked at piano artists and other type of theater and performing arts around the world. And so the Fulbright Alumni Directory is a wonderful resource for you to look at the different artists and what types of projects that they have performed and what has gotten funded in the past. The award cycle, right now our awards competition for the 21-22 year is proceeding on schedule, despite the fact that we are dealing with some health issues around the world. Right now we are still open for applications, and the application deadline is September 15th. So luckily we still have quite a bit of time before the application deadline. It'll allow you an opportunity to look through the awards catalog and reach out to us if you have specific questions. And then in September, we do a technical review of the applications. Peer review takes place in October and November, and then sometime between November to January, I mix those two up, you are notified about whether your application has made it through peer review and has been forwarded on to the host countries. Then from January to April, the host countries conduct their peer review, and the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board conducts their review. And if you are selected for an award, you would receive notification. And if you are not selected, you'll also receive notification. So currently, for the people who applied in September of last year, we're still working with them to get them their formal approvals. And you would find out by April whether you receive approval or not. And then starting with May onward, you prepare for the grant. Okay, and I'm looking at the question, sorry, out of the corner of my eye, I see a lot of people are asking different questions, so I'm going to actually move over to the questions shortly because I do want to make sure to give you time for the questions. On the this last slide, I have an email address, scholars@iie.org. I want to encourage you to reach out to us that way. You can also join My Fulbright at the top. This is where you can register your interest and receive information about our program. And I think that's how many of you probably received information from us already. And then you can also join us by social media. What I would like to do now is I'm going to actually pull out my my questions and start answering some of these questions because I see them going. Give me a second to get my question box enlarged here so I can answer some of your questions. Okay. So starting up towards the top of the questions, I will do my best. The three countries should be from different continents. Okay, so there's a question about multi-country awards, okay? So there are a couple different kinds of multi-country awards. There is the Global Scholar Award, and then there are regional research awards. If you are applying to the Global Scholar Award, at least two of those countries have to be in different world regions, as I defined them in this presentation. If you are applying to a regional research award, then all of the countries must be in one world region. We don't have them for every world region, but we do have them on many. And so if you are trying to figure out whether a regional research award or a global research award is more appropriate, if you want to conduct research in multiple countries, please do reach out to us and we can work with you further on that. The next question is, should we get accepted into a university first before we apply for a Fulbright? What I think might be happening is that there's a little bit of confusion about the Fulbright Scholar Program and the Fulbright Student Program. And so if you are applying for an Open Study Research Award and acceptance into a university is a question, then you are asking about the Fulbright Student Program, and I would encourage you to go and review their website about that. If you are an artist, you are eligible in some capacity if you're a professional artist as opposed to an academic who might be working in a U.S. university. You have options between the student and the scholar program, but if you're unsure about where you fit best, please do reach out to us and send us your resume or your CV, and we can help put you in touch with the appropriate program. Okay. Are there Fulbright opportunities for those who have not yet received an MFA, or would this be the Fulbright student section? Okay, we asked about that as well. If you do not have an MFA, but you are an established artist in your career, you have been working for more than maybe 5 to 7 years in your career, and you have pieces that have been on exhibit in museums or other formal presentations, then you might actually fit in either of the different programs. I would encourage you to reach out to us in that capacity because the Fulbright Scholar Program is open to professionals, but we usually say professionals who have at least 7 to 10 years of active experience in the field. That's what we usually have as the baseline for artists. But please do reach out to us if you have questions about that. If you apply to the Fulbright Arctic Initiative that's not open, does this disqualify you from making an application to the Fulbright Scholar Program that is due in September? Okay, that person has left. The general rule of thumb is that you can only apply to one award per awards cycle. And if you are trying to decide whether you're a better fit for the student program or the scholar program, please do reach out to us at IIE so we can advise you because you are only allowed to apply to one. So you have to apply to either one student award or one scholar award. You cannot apply to one award in each competition. Okay, I'm an American writer of Romanian origin and would like to go to Romania on the Fulbright to teach creative writing and American studies. Am I eligible for that? I am not a teacher. I worked as a teacher of French. Okay, so if you are wondering about eligibility, first and foremost, please know that if you are a U.S. citizen, then you would be eligible for one of our programs, even if you've naturalized. So we have many scholars and professionals who go back to their country of origin after they've naturalized. That is very common. What I would recommend in this particular case is that you email us your CV and tell us the award, in this case the Romania award, that you're interested in, and we can give you a private advising session to help you determine eligibility. And we also can help you figure out a way, possibly of positioning yourself, to make your application as strong as possible. We really take great pride in offering advising to potential applicants, and we welcome you guys to take advantage of the time that we can offer you to make your application as competitive as possible. So please do reach out to us. When it comes to research awards, how do you fit a visual arts project to fit the requirements of the research award? So with artists are in a different category because when they do research, the result of their research is not necessarily an article in a peer-reviewed journal. It might be some type of an exhibition. And so artists are reviewed for research as it is defined in your field. And so if you have been working on a specific type of art and you've been exhibiting that visual art in some capacity, then that is what it would count as. That's how we would define research for that. But please do feel free to send us your CV, and we can look through it side by side with the research requirements of the award, and we would be happy to help you figure out if the fit is there or not. Okay, someone said Vietnam or Southeast Asia. Yes and yes. Vietnam has an all disciplines award. You would want to look at the particular preferences of that. Southeast Asia, there is one award called the ASEAN Research Award. And if you want to do research in multiple countries in the ASEAN region, then you would look at the ASEAN Award. So they have exciting opportunities for that. And I would love to talk to you more about either of those awards because in addition to being the arts lead, I also work with awards to East Asia and the Pacific and then the Middle East and North Africa. What are the options in Germany? We actually have quite a few options in Germany, so I would encourage you to go to CIES.org and look at the Germany awards, and you could send us a short list of awards that seem to match your skill set, and we could help you determine which one you might be the strongest applicant for. Okay, Jamaica wasn't listed in the Western Hemisphere, but on the Fulbright website it said it's open to all disciplines. So I didn't list every award on my list that you are eligible for as an artist, but please do consult the awards catalog because if it says open to all disciplines, then generally people from all disciplines are eligible to apply. You will be a stronger candidate if the All Disciplines Award maybe also says that they're specifically seeking artists. But even if they don't say that they're specifically seeking artists, but the award is called All Disciplines, you still are eligible to apply. Just note that your application will be compared side by side with people from other disciplines. And as an artist, you have just as good of a chance as any other academic of receiving that award. So please don't hesitate to apply to an all disciplines award because arts is an eligible discipline. Does the application allow for a mix of images and videos? I will have to check in the online application system and get back to you about that. I'm not sure if they allow you to do 5 images and 15 minutes of video or whatnot. But please email me that question and I would be happy to follow up with our application and selection team. As a multidisciplinary contemporary artist, is there a choice of submitting both images and videos? Okay, we have that one. So please email me and I can follow up on that question because I'm not sure if the logic in the application allows for 2 types of media to be submitted. Okay, so yeah, that question came up from a couple different people. So please do email me. I'd like to follow up on that so that I can give you accurate information on how the upload in the application works. Does the letter need to specify whether the application is for fall or spring semester? Can it be left open? When you are applying for your award, you actually submit your timeline, and so you would indicate whether you plan on doing it in fall or spring semester. If you are open to either semester, you can also indicate that in your application. And so that is something that you have some control over as far as when you're applying, and then they would look at that once they're reviewing the applications. Okay, according to the website, the deadline is October 13th. Okay, please note that the U.S. scholar deadline is September 15th. It is a firm deadline, September 15th, 2020. If you are looking at an October 13th deadline, you are looking at the U.S. student program. So please be very careful to understand the differences between the U.S. scholar program and the U.S. student program, because the U.S. scholar program deadline is September 15th, 2020. If you're confused about the differences between the program, again, feel free to reach out. We would be happy to help direct you to the best fit for you, because above and beyond anything, we really want to make sure that the artists who apply and the professionals who apply and are as strong of applicants as possible. We love seeing artists around the world because we feel like you guys are the embodiment of cultural exchange. A lot of times your work is on display within your country, or if you're a performing artist, you get to perform for different public events. And so we really like to encourage artists to apply. Would I be eligible for a postdoc award if I graduate in May 2021? That is a very good question. Technically, you have to graduate by February 2021 for many postdoc awards. However, some specific awards descriptions say that you just have to finish and graduate before the start of the award. So if you're proposing to start your award in July 2021, then a May 2021 graduation date would be acceptable. So please look very carefully at that second tab on the awards description, and it'll list specifically when you have to finish your graduate degree to be eligible for a postdoc. And if you have any questions, reach out to us. All right, if you've applied to a country once and you were rejected, is it wise to apply there again with a stronger application or choose an entirely different country? That's actually a really great question. And our rule of thumb is to generally consider applying, if you have a specific need to be in that country, apply to the same country again, but just take the time to strengthen your application as you indicated. Every year we have had people who did not receive the award one year receive it the following year, because the pool of applicants changes year by year. If you apply to the same country 2 years in a row and you are not funded, we encourage you to actually consider applying to a different country the following year. So that's our general rule of thumb, is to try to strengthen and reapply to the same country if you still have an interest there, and if not, the third year, try to apply to a different country. And we would be happy to help you look at your application from last year. Although we can't give feedback because of our Fulbright policy and guidelines, we can actually help you look at it next to the review criteria to see if there are ways you can strengthen your application. Okay, there's somebody here who said that they're in an MA program and they have a BA in the arts also. So for that person who is in that category, you can reach out to us, but generally you would be a better fit for the student program. The U.S. Scholar Program starts with postdocs or professionals who have actually been active in the field for about 7 to 10 years to be in the scholar side of things. So if you are not fitting into those categories, please consider looking at the student program or reaching out to us for a consultation to see if we can help you find a good fit or a match. We had somebody who asked about the Senior Scholar Fellowship, what a senior scholar is. And again, a senior scholar is generally associate professor or above, sometimes full professor. But the specific guidelines of what constitutes a senior scholar will be listed in the awards description. Can I apply again if I've already received a Fulbright? Yes, as long as the completion of your Fulbright was 2 full years before the award, the application deadline. So this year our application deadline is September 15th, 2020. So in order to be eligible, you must have completed your last Fulbright before September 15th, 2018. So that's when you came home from your award. And on the application, just be prepared because you do have to justify why you are worthy of receiving another Fulbright. And you can justify that by talking about how this new project is an extension of your past research or a different project to a different country. So there are a wide variety of ways you can justify that. How can we access the Fulbright Alumni Directory? That's a great question. If you go to CIES.org, the Fulbright website, on that very first page, you can see the Fulbright Alumni Directory. You just click on that link, and you can find all of the names of people within the past 10 years. Okay. Can you have lived in a country you are applying to? Up for how long? This differs country by country. Some countries specifically state that they're interested in people who don't have a significant amount of experience in that country. Other people allow naturalized citizens who were born in that host country to go back and serve in that country because they speak some of the local language or local dialogues, or dialect, sorry, dialect. And so it depends country by country. If you have a specific country in mind, please do reach out and ask us about it. But just so you know, there is one eligibility requirement that says that you cannot have lived overseas for more than 5 of the past 6 years prior to applying to the award. So if you lived in that country for 5 of the past 6 years, that is one thing that would make you ineligible. If you applied in 2019 and were successful, can you apply this cycle? I would encourage you to reach out to us directly because there are a number of different Fulbright programs. Generally, if you received a Fulbright Scholar Award and you return sometimes during 2019, then you would not be eligible because you did not meet that 2 full years between the return from the program and the application deadline. But please reach out to us with the dates and we can help you confirm eligibility. Okay, so there's another one about the portfolio and the mixed media within the portfolio. So reach out to me with that question and I will research that for you. What is the indicator of competitiveness of awards in relation to certain countries? That's a great question. Every year the applicants to different countries changes, and we generally say that the level of competitiveness is based on how well your skill set matches what they're asking for. So if they're asking for a specific type of person and you have those skills, then you would be a very competitive applicant. If you are applying for a senior scholar award and you have maybe one publication, then you would probably not be very competitive. So it's not necessarily country by country as much as your skill set relating to what the country is asking about. If you're trying to decide between a couple different countries, you can reach out to us and we might have a sense of historically which countries seem to be a little bit more competitive than others, but that's something that does change year by year. Okay, there's somebody that asked, they received a Fulbright Specialist grant. Please know that the Fulbright Specialist and the Fulbright Scholar Program, even though they are both sponsored by the Department of State, are considered different programs. So even if you were a Fulbright Specialist, it does not impact your ability to apply for a Fulbright Scholar Award. So please do consider applying for a Fulbright Scholar Award, even if you were a specialist. For Flex Grant, is this for one country or multiple countries? Okay, the Flex Grant, if you are applying to a single country award, that Flex Grant would be for multiple trips to that one single country. If you are applying for one of the regional research grant awards or the Global Scholar Award that allows for the Flex option, Then you would go, you could take your trips to different countries each step of the way if that's how you wanted to break up your research. So you would need to refer to the award description. Generally, all of the flex parameters are clearly listed in the award description. And if there's any confusion, you can reach out to us and we can clarify. Can an award include two parties, a dancer accompanied by a musician? That's a tricky question, okay? First, you only have to apply and you are assessed by your application alone. So if you are the dancer, you would apply as a dancer and your application would be assessed for your ability as a dancer. If the musician wanted to apply, they would also apply, but they should apply as a musician. We recommend that you do not submit your applications as if they are required, both required at the same time, because each of you are assessed individually, and there's no guarantee that the person you want to work with might or might not get an award as well. And so I would encourage you to apply just by yourself in your own discipline and not make your application contingent upon an accompanist or someone you might be working with. If you want some more details about that, please do reach out for a consulting appointment and we can talk to you more about that. Can we get a copy of this webinar? Yes, within a week or two, this webinar will be archived on our website, so you're welcome to get it and review it at that point. Are there summer-only awards? Generally not. Because one of the purposes of Fulbright is for you to be able to interact with students and scholars in the host country. However, there are some ways, depending on the academic schedule of your institution, that you can sometimes get it during those breaks, maybe if you have a mini-mester in January or something like that. But please do reach out to us if you want a little bit more advice or suggestion or help going through the catalog to find something that might work. But generally, there are not summer-only awards. Can the Fulbright program help me choose an award to apply for based on the project I want to do? Absolutely. And that is where the consulting calls come in. We have consulting calls where you can work with me as the arts art lead in the Fulbright program, or you can work with people maybe who are specializing in South and Central Asia and work with them about specific awards within a region. But that's one of the services that we provide for potential applicants is help in trying to find a good fit for that award because you can only apply to one award. So please know that we absolutely can help you. We have 1 minute left and I have quite a few more questions here. And so let me see. All of them, a lot of them are about the fit for the award. So I think if you're trying to figure out about the fit, your specific fit for the award, my best recommendation is to email scholars@iie.org with your question. We can either answer your question in email or we can send you a link to schedule a consulting appointment with us and we would be happy to work with you further. Thank you so much for joining today, everyone who stuck around until the very end or who joined us at any point within this webinar. I'm really excited to see so many artists who are interested in going abroad with Fulbright. It really is a wonderful, life-changing opportunity that can help you really work and improve your skills by collaborating with people abroad. It can help you share some of your skills with the people abroad, help build capacity in the arts abroad. And so please do not hesitate to reach out because we would love to see a lot more artists representing us in the program. Thank you again, and I hope you guys are all safe and well. Please take care of yourself, and we hope to hear from many of you soon. Have a great day. Goodbye.